Good morning, everybody. God has more things for you than you can imagine. That's what he's been saying, hasn't he? And the declaration, Psalm 107, verse 8, I give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. You need to remember those things as we go through this talk this morning. Another year. More opportunities to move forward with God. That's exciting or scary, depending on how you're feeling at that particular moment. But it's good. If you weren't around to hear the last 2 weeks' talks, can I encourage you please to make time to listen to them? Richard and Jacqueline challenged us on the first Sunday in January about where we are with God and what are our expectations for this year. The leadership team shared last week the vision of the church and the centre, and we tried to make it clear that the church and the centre are the same thing. They are a part of what God's vision is for us here. And we also shared about the faith step we've taken, that we've appointed Chris Fielding as office manager, and he starts in February. Both these talks will be available on CDs, and this one is also going to be available on CD, as they always are, but there's going to be a pack of three so that you can actually have the chance to listen to all these, because we feel they're really important to be a part of where we're going as a church and as a family. My topic is giving. The gift of giving. The theme of giving creates all sorts of different images in people's minds. I want to come from the basis that all we have is God's. Can I say that again? All we have is God's. We are stewards of God's money and things. Now, I have to say, that can mess with your mind. It can mess with your mind quite seriously, because you go, hang on. Or you might even go, hang on. I've worked for all that. It's my name on the pay slip. But isn't that just seeing it from our perspective? That doesn't allow any space to say, thank you, God, you've blessed me with this job. Or even it could be, you've sustained me in this job. You've given me gifts. You've given me opportunities that I never expected to have. If we go from the basis that all I have is God's and that we are stewards, it changes how we think. Who's had that experience of being sustained by God in a job? I must admit, I remember particularly when I was at a low point, I knew that God was still walking with me, even though I was finding things really, really tough. And then I think about what are the gifts and the provisions God has provided for me, for us, for you. Anybody recognize that? James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of our heavenly lights, God, who does not change, not like shifting sands, shadows, sorry. God is our provider. But then we can ask, and get confused. Well, why's he got more money than me? Why have they got a nicer car? Why have they? Or we can think about somebody who we see as rich. Well, they can only be rich because they're greedy. Money is evil. That's what it says in the Bible, doesn't it? 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's been taken over my money, isn't it? To become greedy, to allow the power of money to overtake us. Money isn't evil. God wants us to have money. Why does he want us to have money? Because we are the people that are building his kingdom on this earth. It's easy to get confused. God uses rich people to further his kingdom. I know somebody who's made their money in car sales and a franchise. But he spent his money setting up further projects for God's kingdom. And not small amounts of money, serious amounts of money. He set up a charity that built radio and TV stations across the world to share Christian music, Christian talks, to share Christian beliefs. That doesn't cost a couple of quid. The same man has also built ordinary schools, secondary schools in this country with a Christian vision. You need money to do that. We need to be careful how we judge with those that have money. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. If everything is God's, the way we work, live, and our attitude needs to change. I speak to myself, I remind myself, I refresh myself as I say those words. What we do with our money and our time changes. How we use our money and our time then should reflect Jesus, who we are and how we are and what we do. Sir Francis of Assisi said, "For it is in giving that we receive. For it is in giving we receive." Our whole concept changes. As we become more open to Jesus and the love of Father God, our attitude to what we have and what we do, it begins to change. What St. Francis was saying is, as we give of ourselves, time, money, emotion, whatever it is, God will bless. We will receive. I've seen it so amazingly recently. I went down to Leamington to spend a day with my daughter Naomi and the son Joshua. Can I just say at this point, thanks so much for all the prayers that you have put into Joshua. It has and is making a huge difference in that little boy's life. When you come back from serious liver failure, you know God's working. At the end of the day, while I was there, we went to pick up Grace and Sophie from school. They were so excited because they'd got a present for me because it was my birthday. And they'd made cakes specially because it was Papa's birthday. For the thrill of them, for them, was giving the present. Not that they were getting anything, it was the present that they wanted to give. We actually played games because I wanted to see the present, and they were excited. You can't see it until it's time, Papa. So I got told off. But you should have seen their faces at the excitement of giving. Harriet and Edith, our other granddaughters, came down last Saturday. They came to see Wendy's mum because she's not too good. But as soon as Harriet got out of the car, she wanted to give me my birthday present. A bit disappointed that, well, we'll do that later, Harriet. Harriet's only 4 years old, but she was that excited to give a present. Harriet amazed me. She had her fourth birthday on the 5th of January. And her mum had said, oh, I'm not doing party bags. But Harriet said, I want to give party bags to all the people that are coming to my party. So this is Harriet, 4 years old, saying this. So she goes and finds a bag for each child that's coming. She then draws a picture for each one and puts it in the bag, specially for that child. Clincher for me. She then goes and gets one of her own toys and puts it in the bag for each child. She knows the toy's going and she's never going to see it again. Well, I have to say that's gobsmacking. That's gobsmacking. This kid at four understands about the idea of giving. I found that amazing. Francis of Assisi says, for it is giving in giving that we receive. Quote from Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. That's cracking, isn't it? I found this quote just quite amazing, unbelievable, but really, really true. We make a life by what we give. That's money, time, love, support, encouragement. The list is endless. Richard's already mentioned the free hugs. Did you see all the comments on Rouge de Rocks and Facebook? It's outstanding. People get a free hug and they're talking about it. Bob says there were people who were talking about it all up and down the town. As folks used their time and gave away those free hugs, people were blessed. They felt and experienced God's love. God touched those people enough for them to talk about. God touched them enough for them to talk about it. I remember when we did free hugs last year, one person said that she'd had the hug, and then she said, that's the first hug I've had for 20 years. Just imagine that. First hug I've had for 20 years. What a difference God made to them. God showing his love. What a difference it made to those who were giving free hugs as well. The people actually giving the free hugs. It's amazing. It's refreshing. It changes you. Let's go back to that quote. But we make a life by what we give. That's God inspired, isn't it? Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is such a God principle. Give, and it will be given to you. God wants us to have giving hearts, a giving life. Not so that we're expectant to receive, but because so we will blossom. Blossom in God. Blossom in His life. Blossom in giving. Giving comes in many forms. As we've mentioned, time, effort, money, emotion. But money is a key part of that. It's a principle of giving money, of how we view it and how we give it. Do you consider giving money important? The way you decide how to give and when to give? At the beginning of the month or the end of the month? What difference does it make, you might say? Well, it's simple. At the beginning, it's out of the money you have and you have to spend. It's what you value. Giving to God's church is important, so you decide then. That's my view. Or you can leave it to the end of the month and see what you have left. I don't know about you, but Wendy and I used to work that principle. We'd see what we'd got left at the end of the month and then make a donation. I have to say, we learnt fairly early on in our marriage, even when money was extremely tight in those days, we learnt that we needed to give to God at the beginning of the month. What did that teach us? What did we learn? Well, I have to say, it was pretty hard at first. But then we were able to give without feeling guilty. We learned that it was amazing that our money seemed to last longer. I couldn't explain it, but it did. I would also say we were amazed by the blessings we had from God in so many ways. Sometimes in the gifts of money, but very often in circumstances, God's circumstances. Things last longer. We were able to repair things that shouldn't have been able to repair. I remember a classic, I'm repairing my car, because I haven't got any money to pay for it to be done, and the book that says everything how to repair at this point, once I've got everything to pieces, it then says in the book, this needs to be taken to the dealer to repair. And I'm going, that's a bit difficult, it's in pieces in my garage. With God's help, and I don't know how, I got it back together again and repaired. God's amazing. God's provision is incredible. Another principle, give thanks. Thank God for His provision. God blesses you. You can find yourself saying things like, gosh, that was cheaper than I thought. I never imagined that we would be able to do that. I've been wanting to sell that for ages. I have to say, I'm amazed at the job I've got. I had a raise last week. Now that's a miracle, isn't it? Have you said any of those things to yourself? Have you given thanks? It struck me as I was saying those things and putting them down, I thought, ask yourself the question, whose financial situation changed last year? Perhaps you got a new job. Perhaps you got a pay increase. Perhaps you cleared your debts. Perhaps you had new opportunities. Perhaps you sold things you thought you were never going to sell. Just think about last year. Give thanks to God. I thought about myself. What were the things that I could say about last year? I remember we got quite a nice gift of money which paid for 2 holidays. Thank you, God. I earned enough last year, and even though I stopped earning money from May, I had enough money to run my car. That's a blessing. Thank you, God. We also had enough money to give gifts of money to others. Thank you, God. Giving. Thank you for joining God in this work in this world. It's called the church. The church is God's bride, and it's worth giving to. It's God's church that's going to change the world. Okay, sometimes you might feel a bit uncertain about what the leadership doing. Do they really know what they're doing? But I have to say, belonging to a family of God is really important. How do you feel about that family? Okay, mistakes happen. You might feel a bit out of the loop sometimes, or the black sheep, but we're still a family. God's family. How do you commit to that? Time, money, finances. Family isn't a supporters club. Family is different, isn't it? It's being a part of what God is doing here in this family. Is that worth buying into? Or supporting? Or giving? What an amazing quote. God is the greatest giver in the universe. He won't let you outgive him. What a classic comment. God is the greatest giver in the universe. He won't let you outgive him. That's a challenge and a reminder of the generous God that we have. God isn't limited by us. Thank God for that. God is not limited by us. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." God says we can test him in the area of giving. You won't outgive God. A tithe is the basic level of giving, whether it's time, money, or whatever. And if you've not listened to Richard's talk from last year, I encourage you to do that. Challenging? Yes, I was challenged. Luke 6:38, the one I've read earlier. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you." God's heart is generous. God wants to continually develop and grow in our hearts. To grow our heart into a growing heart, a giving heart. Why? Because it's God's heart. It's God's way. That's how he works. That's what he does. So he wants to develop us as giving people. God is the greatest giver in the universe. Amen. Thank you, God. And we are God's people. God gives us things to share. God doesn't give us things to hold. It's like a car. A car's got to be driven. In fact, if it's running well, by that mean it's had some good long journeys and the engine's run in, and I have to say a lot of the manufacturers run the engines in now anyway, the whole car beds down and actually it runs better. The car I have is the only car I've ever had from new. I've only had one new car and that's it. When I had it, it used to do about 50 miles to the gallon. After a few months, it rose to 55 miles to the gallon. After a year, when it fully bedded in, it was doing just under 60 miles to the gallon. and has done happily ever since. Why? Because the car is designed to do that and to run smoothly. It improved as it settled down and bedded in. However, the opposite's true. If you leave the car on the drive for a long time, it might look great, but the brakes begin to seize up, the engine can dry, joints start to stiffen up. In other words, the car isn't able to function in the way it was designed. God designed us to reflect His heart. God's heart is to be generous. God's heart is to bless and encourage us. It isn't to hide us or put us under a bottle that we're never going to be seen. God's desire is to help us to blossom, to be like Him, to be like God. God is love. To love, we need to give of ourselves. To give is to love. That's what God's about. The world asks, what does a man own? Jesus asks, how does he use it? That's a cracking question, isn't it? How do I use my money, my time, my efforts? And that's irrelevant what I have, whether I have lots or little. The challenge is, how do we give? God builds church. Why does He build church? To bring His kingdom. That's His heart, that's His desire. How do we view church? How do we support church? What is God challenging us to do? Have we, you, me, reviewed what we give? I have to say, because I knew I was speaking on giving, I thought I should check and what I was giving, which is a good thing to do. I remember doing the same thing after listening to Richard's talk last year, which changes had to be made. I found it challenging. Again, I say, if you haven't heard that talk, you really need to. We all need to review how we are with God. How we are with God. Because how we are with God will reflect what we're doing with our giving. We can be misled by our fears and our concerns about giving. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. This is God speaking to each one of us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I've learnt over the years that I need to honour God. I know sometimes people have said to me, well, it's okay for you, you're all right. I remember my first job as a teacher, I was teaching in Sandwell. It's a job for life, isn't it, teaching? Well, at that school, that gift of that job was an amazing gift for that first job. I remember, you remember that friend I was talking about that smiled at me and God's changed his day through that smile? Well, he told me about this job in Sandwell. And I was living in Burntwood at the time. And teaching jobs were pretty hard to get in those days. But I got the job. Thank you, God. However, at the school, the children's numbers kept contracting. So for 3 of the 4 years I worked there, people were made redundant. And in the fourth year, it was me. I went for a job in the local authority because there was this special scheme that you could have priority. So I went for this job. I'd got the right skills, I got the right experience. I was the only applicant. I didn't get the job. Now you can imagine I was a little bit upset about that. But I have to say, God had the last laugh. Because God does things that we don't expect. Like I said before, I was never expecting that to happen, God. A few weeks later, I had two interviews on the same day in different schools. That's God with a sense of humour, isn't it? And they were both within 5 miles of where I lived. It wasn't travelling 20 odd miles, which was what I had been doing. And for those who remember Sue Pierce, who used to be a part of this church many years ago, I worked in her department while she was still there. And while I was on that day, I'll add this bit in, on that day for that interview, at one point, and I have no idea where all the other people that were getting interviewed went, because we were all going round as a group. I have no idea, but I ended up in an office with Sue Pierce and myself. And she said, by the way, we're praying for you to get the job. Now I just wanted to go in a cupboard and go, yes! But I didn't. I just tried to keep calm. I got that job. My last paid job, I took voluntary redundancy. I'll try and say that in English. Voluntary redundancy. At the age of 57. My pension was to start at 60. I went self-employed, which is slightly risky at that stage in life, I have to say. One of the jobs that I got was with a guy from Stafford, a Christian, connections that God had made. And I got work out of that situation for about 2 or 3 years, and it gave me a little income. And I have to say, we managed on about a third of the income that we had previously been having. Still able to give. Still able to bless. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing God we have. Giving is living. Let's be intentional in our living. Giving is the way to go. Why is it the way to go? Because it's God's way. Don't be frightened to challenge yourself. God is with you. If you aren't sure about what to do or how to ask, look for support. Go to other people. Talk to them. Pray with them. God wants us to be a generous family. We can amaze ourselves. We can amaze others. I remember being a part of a church fellowship back in the day when Billy Graham was around. We joined the campaign to actually support Billy Graham in his evangelistic situations. And we gave money from the church that we were a part of. And I didn't realize, only found out afterwards, that in percentage terms, our little church gave more money than any other church in the area. We weren't being clever or anything. All we did was we prayed about and asked how much we should give. We need to learn how to give and love to give. We can only have the spirit of giving as we spend time with God, as we search out God, as we ask and show and allow God to bless us and encourage us. Where are we with God? What is Jesus saying and showing us? Take steps to allow God to enlarge your vision. God's vision of church, of this church. How open-hearted are we to hear what God is saying? God wants us to be a reflection of His heart. God's heart is love. Love gives because it's natural. I don't know when you look at that picture, I don't know, it took me a while because I'd actually had it on the screen for quite some time before I realized there's two sets of hands there. God's holding us. God holds you and yours in his hands. That's why he knows you. Overflowing with God's blessing, and our hearts and hands reach out to the world. We are God's blessing to Rugeley, to the country, to the world. How big is your vision? God wants to bless us so that we can bless others. God wants to bless us so that we can bless others. As we bring God's kingdom to those around us, God continues to bless. He continues to bless us, whatever, because he can and he does, because he wants to. Let yourself be open to what God is saying to you. God will never leave you or forsake you. He will never take you up the garden path. He will always look after you. God wants the absolute best for you. Remind you of that reading right at the beginning from James. Every good and perfect gift is from above. This is from a God who does not change. Allow God to speak to you of what he's saying about you and how you should give and how you should bless and how you should be living this life of love and giving.